Welcome to Abiding in Christ. Acts 17:28 says, "In Christ we live and move and have our being." This program is designed to instill in you that all your needs are met when you put Jesus Christ first in your life. Listen now to the Holy Spirit as a Bible teacher and host, Leisha Cantrell, reveals the Word of God.
The evidence and enablement of faith. For centuries, the islands of the New Zealand were unpopulated. No human had ever set foot on them. Then the first settlers arrived. They were Polynesians from other Pacific islands who had sailed 1,000 miles in outrigger canoes. The Polynesians came with the purpose of settling in New Zealand. How did they know the land was there? How did they know they would not simply sail across empty seas until food and water ran out and they perished? The Polynesians had known for generations that land was there, because their voyagers had seen a long white cloud on the distant horizon. They knew that when a cloud stayed in one place over a very long period of time, there was land beneath it. They called New Zealand the land of the long white cloud. Faith is like that. It is voyaging to an unseen land, journeying to an unknown future. But it is not mere guesswork or chance or superstition. There is evidence or facts behind faith, faith that suggests conclusions. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, not yet revealed to the senses. Hebrews 11:1 is a definition and description of what faith does for us. It makes things hoped for as real as if we already had them, and it provides unshakable evidence that the unseen spiritual blessings of Christianity are absolutely certain and real. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Our faith not only gives us hope for the future, but helps us to face the present. It is the evidence of things, or things that are done now, that are not seen. Things hoped for involve future hopes. The evidence of things not seen involves present realities which are unseen. The hoped for blessings include the future hope of the resurrection. The evidence of things not perceived by the senses. We see them with the eye of faith. The evidence of things not seen involves the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and the future glorification of the saints. It also involves unseen realities, such as the forgiveness of sin through Christ's sacrifice, his power to help us live the Christian life, and the present intercession of Christ in heaven. These are present realities, though unseen. Faith is hope relating to the future. Conviction is faith relating to the present. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. This word evidence is the translation of elgoklos, which means proof, by which a thing is proved or tested of evidence or a convincing argument. It is a legal term meaning evidence that is accepted for conviction. This word is used about 23 times in Plato's account of the trial of Socrates. Evidence is something you take into court to prove your case. Faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. Through faith in the Lord, we can see what others cannot see. When there is true faith in the heart, God bears witness to that heart by His Spirit. By faith, Noah saw coming judgment. Abraham saw a future city. Joseph saw the exodus from Egypt. Daniel and the three Hebrews saw God's control over their lives as they faced the flames and the lions. And Moses saw God. When the Christian lives by faith, he believes what God says. He has never seen heaven. He has never seen an angel. Some of us have. He has never seen the Redeemer. He has never seen a body raised from the grave. The Word of God, however, is the evidence that what the Lord has said or promised is true. Because of this evidence, this proof this convincing argument, we can have peace, security, confidence, and courage to obey God, live by faith, and do His will for our lives. We can trust Him. Reading the Word of God will strengthen your faith. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And through the original in the Greek, it comes down to the Word of Christ, the Word that came through Jesus Christ. We are to be people of faith in the Lord. What else does this mean? Faith is confidence in the trustworthiness of God. It is the conviction that what God says is true and that what He promises will come to pass. Faith is confidence in God that leads to obedience in God or to God. It is not believing in spite of the evidence, but obeying in spite of the consequences. True faith is based on what God says and is demonstrated in what we do. People with faith do things for God, and God does things for them. Faith is not a luxury, it is a necessity. It is for common people and not just great leaders. Faith is not limited to possibilities, but invades the realm of the impossible. Someone has said, faith begins where possibilities end. If it's possible, then there's no glory for God in it. God wants us to realize that He can do the impossible, and it is our faith in Him that believes this truth. Elizabeth Elliot said, true faith goes into operation when there are no answers. Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Luke 18:27, and He said, the things which are possible are impossible with men, are possible with God. And so Philippians 4:6 brings us to praying that is specific. Paul is not saying that we are to be careless. This is not the meaning behind the words, be careful for nothing. Matthew 13:22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and become unfruitful. It is interesting to note that the cares of this world or worries choke the word. The word worry originally meant to choke. The English word worry comes from a German word, Wurgen, which introduced the word Wugen, which means to choke, strangle, seize by the throat with the teeth. God wants us to trust Him to take care of us and to be content with what we already have in our lives, lest we be strangled and choked by our worries. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. In the Navajo Indian translation of the Bible, the word for care or worry is a word which means that which prickles and irritates like a pin sticking into the flesh. This verse then reads, the things that are continually sticking into you, turn them over to Me, for I am caring about you. When God says don't worry, He always tells us why not. He is drawing you close so He can take care of you. He always has a solution. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Are you given to worry? The Philippians were continuously. They were worrying and were told to stop. Worry robs hearts of peace. Jesus is present to give us peace if we turn to Him. We may encounter trials and troubles, but we don't need to brood over them. Worry is the interest we pay on the debt of unbelief with which we have mortgaged our lives. God gives us a warning about worry. There's nothing too big for God, so we don't need to worry. He says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for Me? Jeremiah 32:27. Luke 21:34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware. So Philippians 4:7 then defines a peace of God, that it's God's peace passing all understanding. And again, this is not a peace because certain things, a sigh of relief of certain things have been done, but consistent with our union with Christ and our and his sovereignty over situations, that he can take care of it. God's peace passes our understanding. The word passes comes from the Greek word upercheko, which means to be more excellent, superior, to surpass, to be in authority or control. Used in a military sense, it means to outflank. The peace of God is more excellent and superior to our understanding, comprehension, and reasoning. It can take control when we tend to be out of control. Peace is what this world craves and cries out for. But they will never find it unless they look to the true source of peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace possessed by one who has health, wealth, friends, and loved ones is understandable, but the peace of God in the midst of trials and tribulation is different. The peace of God that passes understanding is peace so precious that man's mind, with his skill and knowledge, can never produce it. It can never be of man's contriving. It is only for God's giving, coming through us spiritually from the Holy Spirit. This world demands a price for peace, but it cannot deliver the goods after the price has been paid. The price for the peace of God has been paid for us. For the Lord Jesus Christ made peace through the blood of his cross, Colossians 1:20. God keeps peace our hearts and minds. This phrase comes from a military word, ferreo, which means to guard, to protect by a military guard, either to prevent hostile invasion or to keep the inhabitants of a besieged city from flight. This would have been a familiar picture to the Philippians, which was a Roman colony protected by Roman troops stationed in that town. The peace of God acts a military Roman guard centennial at the door of our hearts and minds. God's peace guards against worry, fear, threatening, frustration, doubt, division, and unbelief. In 1555, Nicholas Ridley was burned at the stake because of his witness for Christ. And the night before Ridley's execution, his brother offered to remain with him in the prison chamber to assist of his comfort. Nicholas declined the offer and replied that he meant to go to bed and sleep as quietly as ever he did in his life, because he knew the peace of God. He could rest in the strength of the everlasting arms of the Lord to meet his need, and so can we. Grace and peace to you. Many people like to get a fast response for prayer requests, so I'm giving you my post office box number so that you can send a letter and make a prayer request or send a donation that way. Write to Abiding in Christ Ministries, Leisha Cantrell, P.O. Box 460512, Denver, Colorado 80246. You may also listen to the programs again and download them, as well as find contact information on 670KLTT.com on the weekday program guide. Click on Abiding in Christ Ministries, Leisha Cantrell, and you'll be right there at my website. Thank you for joining me weekly here at Abiding in Christ Ministries for Kingdom, Covenant, and Mediator.